Planning ahead on interest rates means thinking 2 years ahead. I'm David Brancaccio. You may not have fully planned for dinner this evening, but the guardians of interest rates meeting this week often want us to plan for the year 2023. To explain, let's bring in our Monday analyst, economist Julia Coronado at Macro Policy Perspectives. She'll be watching the briefing that follows the Federal Reserve's meeting tomorrow and Wednesday.
There certainly are a lot of people that expect them to show a rate hike in 2023. Now, that's not soon, but that is earlier than they were signaling before. And that is in response to inflation that's been a lot higher than they expected. Now, the alternative scenario would be that they confirm that they expect this inflation to be transitory and confirm the same policy patience that they showed last meeting.
2023, it sounds like, I always say this, like a star date. It's like an incoming freshman will be almost a junior. That's what we're talking about. No rate hikes until, you know, till there's monorails and flying cars.
Look, nobody hates that future guessing bit more than Chair Powell. He always reminds us that nobody knows what's going to happen in 2023, so we should not obsess over these forecasts. And yet, the market obsesses over these forecasts.
Yeah, well, it's the bond market, especially, because they're just, you know, they need to adjust if the view changes. And that affects a lot of people, who have some assets and are hoping for higher interest rates to make a little bit more on what they've saved.
That's right. It affects your mortgage rate. It affects the rate at which you can borrow to buy a home. And so it does matter. And I think the Fed is well aware of that. So we actually are on the side that the Fed will stay patient and ride through this reopening phase of the economy before deciding what to do with policy.
All right. We'll know more shortly after lunch Eastern time on Wednesday. Julia Coronado, economist, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
There are new data on the changing views of where people want to live and work given the experience of the pandemic year. Here's Marketplace's Megan McCarty-Carino.
Zillow analyzed data from 2016 to 2020 from one of the biggest moving companies in the country. Jeff Tucker, a senior economist for Zillow, says people were seeking out less expensive regions and more square feet last year.
The opportunity to work remotely was really changing the game for some homeowners who took this opportunity to kind of move someplace where they could get more bang for their buck.
Working from home increased demand for space and made it possible for people to leave big, pricey cities where high-wage jobs are concentrated. They left Chicago, New York, and cities in California at the highest rate and moved to medium-sized, affordable metros in the South and Southeast, like Austin, Texas, where Stephen Pettigo is a professor at the University of Texas.
It has become California Central, right? I can tell you how many license plates of the new houses that have been bought in our neighborhood are all California plates.
He says cities in the Sun Belt were already growing, but the pandemic accelerated things. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino for Marketplace.
The stock market is open for the week. Let's do the numbers. Yeah, the Dow is down 119 points, 0.4%. The S&P 500 down less than 0.2%. The NASDAQ is up 0.2%. With that Fed meeting this week, the 10-year interest rate is up at 1.47%. Why is music back with our market indicators? Why not? There's positive news this morning about a new coronavirus vaccine, this from Novavax, based in Maryland. A U.S. trial with 30,000 volunteers finds it's 91% effective, even against a variety of virus variants, and 100% effective in stopping moderate or severe cases of COVID. Novavax uses a different approach than the other four vaccines out there, but it's a common system used in the usual flu shots and the vaccine for hepatitis B, for instance. And it's easy to store at normal fridge temperature. If Novavax gets approved by regulators, the hope is to produce 100 million doses a month by this fall.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.
Many of us draw lots of energy from the natural environment, but it's also true that sometimes retail spaces are important to us and we miss them when they're gone. We've been hearing your stories about vanishing pieces of the American economic landscape. Today, a chain of fabric stores.
The great thing about Hancock Fabrics is that it didn't try to have a little bit of this and a little bit of that. It really was just a fabric store. It was just rows and rows of fabrics with satins and the lace and the tulle. It was fun to look at and imagine what these fabrics could become. I'm Joanna Clark, and I live in Brunswick, Georgia. I'm not a particularly good seamstress, but I wanted to be able to say that I had made my wedding dress. I went with a friend of mine to the fabric store, spent like 2 or 3 days, and put it together. It's a very simple dress, and it's bright blue because that was my favorite color at the time. It was a long time ago. When I was a little girl, my mother took me in to teach me how to use a sewing machine and how to quilt. I remember shopping to find the perfect fabric for my prom dresses, my wedding dress, baby clothing for my children. I even worked in a Hancock Fabrics in Shreveport, Louisiana early in my marriage, and that's how I met new people. We moved from Atlanta, didn't really know anyone, and so I worked there part-time, about 30 hours a week, and I probably spent a good bit of my paycheck back at Hancock Fabrics because I was there all the time. I did develop a bit of an antipathy to music from the 1950s. You know, and the thing about working in a fabric store is no matter how many times you sweep, there's going to be dust everywhere. I want to say in 2016, 2017, I was going up for fabric for my daughter's school dance dress, and it looked like they had pared down a good bit. And a month later, when I came back, the signs for going out of business were all up, and I was so sad. I think it was just competition in the marketplace that drove down their sales. And of course, a lot of people would search online. But it's just not the same. I want to feel the fabric to know how it's going to drape over your shoulders or off your hip, or how is it going to swish when you move it? And color? Oh.
Listener Joanna Clark, Brunswick, Georgia, remembering Hancock Fabrics. Is there a feature of the American economic landscape that was important to you but is no more? Your stories have been really nice. Keep them coming. Email morningreport@marketplace.org. I'm David Brancaccio. APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.